Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Ryan Zook.
The Michigan basketball teams are both in the heart of Big Ten play. The men have a lot of work to do to get into the NCAA tournament conversation. The women remain Big Ten title contenders. And the Michigan hockey team has been inconsistent of late. We discuss it all and more on Wolverine Confidential. All right, Ryan, good to be talking with you here January 19th, a Thursday morning. We don't need Aaron. We're talking hoops and hockey. That guy's got a one-track mind.
Plenty to talk about a football, but we'll wait till he gets back because that's a whole nother episode.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start with men's basketball or basketball in general. Both teams play tonight, Thursday. The men are 10-7, 4-2 in the Big Ten after a win over Northwestern this past weekend. They visit Maryland tonight, Thursday, and host Minnesota on Sunday.
Honestly, like how do you go into a game and not know what to expect from this team at this point? I mean, it's literally the Jekyll and Hyde Wolverines, I feel like, this season so far.
It really is. I think it just a lot to do with their youth. I mean, they start two freshmen and then a sophomore who didn't play too much last year. Bring another freshman off the bench now as part of a key rotation piece. But you do have a couple of juniors in that lineup and one guy, Hunter Dickinson, who's just, been the key player on this team for years now. So it's hard to say. I think like in the end, they're going to regret these losses that, they could have had unless they somehow can flip some of these future games into wins, which I don't see them getting drastically better. I think they'll just kind of, stay the course. Win some of these games, especially at home, lose some, especially on the road. And in the end, it'll shake out to, a record that's possibly not good enough for an NCAA tournament bid, but would have been, if they held on against Virginia or Kentucky or North Carolina, Central Michigan, Iowa. Like, these are close losses that could potentially, haunt them going forward. But we'll see. This Maryland team has been struggling lately. They're a little, they've got some issues too with their personnel. So this wouldn't be surprised. It seems like every Big Ten game, like the home team is favored by like 2, 3, or 4 points. We'll see. We'll see how it goes for Michigan tonight.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing that's going to be another like 30 point game, 30 something point game, like the first game was in this series this year.
Yeah. That was January 1, some Michigan football fans, maybe a little hungover in more ways than one after that football game on the 31st. Michigan coming off the loss to Central Michigan, started the game 17-0 against Maryland and just kept getting better. They won by 35 points in a conference game. And this isn't a Maryland team that's like, going to go like winless, like you see in some of these conferences now and then. Like it was very, very impressive. Hunter Dickinson said afterwards, like, we played like a team that had just lost to Central Michigan. So, I did a little research on this. Like, when the home team wins the first matchup in conference play, like they still have a, losing record by a pretty good number in the rematch on the road. And even when it's like a blowout, it's that still holds. So like you can't just read too much into just that one game. But Dickinson has had some great games against Maryland. He's one of three guys from the DMV area. He in particular kind of took offense to Maryland. He felt like they didn't recruit him hard enough. We're now two coaches past that. They had an interim coach like last year, and now they've got a completely new coach who he was asked about it yesterday at his press conference. He's like, I don't know anything about that, but he sure played angry against us last time. So, he, Terrence Williams and then Doug McDaniel, all kind of a homecoming of sorts tonight.
Maryland did not want the big Dickinson energy, I guess, man. I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, they kind of did, it sounds like, but he just, I don't know. He felt like they didn't recruit him hard enough or whatever. And he said it was like all of DeMathis, entire school, a program that's, produced a lot of college players. He felt like they didn't make the trip down the street to look at their players quite strongly enough. Whatever motivation you can find. He absolutely torched them in the game there, his freshman year, Michigan didn't go there last year, so this will be his first time playing there with fans. And you know, he in particular kind of embraces those environments. So it should be an entertaining game.
Yeah. With that said, and with that stat you brought up, I kind of want to put you on the spot here. What's your prediction for the game then?
It's tough. I mean, I pretty much go with the home team in these Big Ten games, but I do like Michigan here. I do think it is a good matchup for them. It doesn't seem like Maryland, just matches up particularly well with Michigan. I don't think they have like enough, offensive firepower this year. It'll be much closer than the game in Ann Arbor, but I think Michigan can get some going here, beat Northwestern on Sunday. I think they can get tonight's game, then come home and play, a Minnesota team that's struggling at home. And then it starts to get a little tougher, Purdue, Penn State and Northwestern on the road. It picks up a little bit, after that. So this would be an important one for sure. Any road game is considered a steal in this conference. And I think this is an opportunity for Michigan to get one tonight.
Most definitely. Let's talk a little Terrace Reed Jr. I mean, 20 minutes against Iowa, 18 minutes against Northwestern. I mean, he's not scoring a ton, just 2 and 6 points in those games. But I mean, he was 3 of 3 against Northwestern. Are we on the verge of seeing more of him moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of by need. I mean, against Iowa, that power forward spot was a struggle for Michigan. That's where Terrence Williams starts. They couldn't stop Chris Murray. So they threw Terrace Reed out there on him. And, Phil Martelli had a funny line about he thought Murray maybe was like shocked to see you're putting a freshman that doesn't play all that much like on me in this spot. And it's like, well, man, no one else is getting the job done. So why not? Like at the very least, he brings size. He's every bit 6'10", 260. He looks bigger. That's what everyone says who sees him on TV or at a game for the first time. And he moves his feet well. He's a shot blocking presence, but it kind of reminds me of last year's then Michigan team when Musa Diabate is on the floor with Hunter Dickinson, and now you've got one completely non shooting threat in Reed and Diabate. Dickinson can occasionally shoot the three, but that's not his strength. So it creates some spacing issues on the floor. But you got the trade-off. It's good defense. It's a guy who can rebound. He can, catch lobs and set screens if he keeps his feet still. He's had more moving screens than probably anyone in the country this year. But he gives him a different look at that position. They prefer Terrence Williams to just play better because he is more of a scoring threat, a little more versatile defender against more mobile players. In theory. But they've been trying Reed. They've been trying Will Cheddar a little bit at that spot. So they're still trying to figure out the best mix. The other guys have been a little more steady, but that's a spot they're looking for, a little more.
They're going to need more production there if they're going to kind of go on a run here in the second half, and they need it. Because like you said, right now, I mean, they wouldn't be in the NCAA tournament field, right?
No, they're not. They're not projected there. They're not in like the, first team out, next right. four out there. But again, there's so many opportunities to get in that mix. So it's like, it's not too early to talk about it, but it's, they just have so many, you just can't predict how these games are going to go. So many of them, if you look at like their KenPom schedule, what's projected, tonight's a 3-point loss. They've got losses by like 5, 3, but they've got wins by 1, 1, 2. Like so many of these games right now, at least, are viewed as like toss-ups that, we'll see how it all shakes out. The women, meanwhile, they're firmly in the field as of now. They're viewed as like a 3 seed, which they were last year, 15-3 overall, 5-2 in the Big Ten after a win over Michigan State this past weekend. They're number 14 in the country, and they're at Rutgers tonight, and they host number 6 Indiana on Monday. That'll be a really big game at Chrysler, I would think, maybe third game in a row that they kind of fill up that place. Very impressive, first half of the season so far for the Michigan women.
Yeah, and a really, really dominant Big Ten too this year. I mean, you look at the standings. I mean, Ohio State's undefeated overall. Indiana 7-1 in the conference. Iowa, who Michigan just lost to recently, 7-1 in the conference. And Michigan's right there at 5-2. So, we thought that Naz Hillman would her departure would kind of maybe set the program back a little bit. And it's just been they continue to hum, and it's been really impressive what Kim Barnes-Orico has been able to do with this program.
Yeah, they've proved they are a program and not just one player. And, you know, the balance that was on display against Michigan State has just been, you know, is indicative of what they've done, you know, really the last month or so. They kind of leaned on Emily Kaiser against in the non-conference. Some of those teams just didn't have a post player capable of hanging with her. But in the Big Ten, they do. So they've kind of spread it around. But, you know, right now, three players, Kaiser, Layla Filia, and Leah Brown, all between 16 and 17.2 points per game. And then you're getting production up and down the lineup. It's not the same players every night either. I mean, it's, you know, Greta Camp Schrader, the transfer from Oregon State, has produced Jordan Hobbs lately, Ari Wiggins lately, Kyra Evans a little bit before that. You know, Alyssa Crockett has come off the bench and been a 3-point threat. You know, Elise Stuck giving him some good minutes, like, you know, 9 or 10 players. And you don't know who the 7 or 8 are going to be, you know, on every given night. You know, you'd expect that bench to shrink as we get more into Big Ten play and eventually postseason play, but not necessarily. You know, if people are producing, then you can kind of play the matchups, and foul trouble isn't as much as a concern, and fatigue and things like that. So, yeah, they've been very good, and they, you know, they, you, this was another chance for them to get a road win at Rutgers that's struggling a bit. And then, like I said, the big showdown with Indiana on Monday night. 8 o'clock p.m. At Chrysler. Tonight's game is on Big Ten Network, by the way. The men are on ESPN. 7 o'clock tip for the men, 8:30 for the women. So you can watch most of both, I suppose. We said we're talking hockey, so let's do it. They're 13-8-1 overall, 5-7 in the Big Ten, but they're 8th in pairwise, which, yep, I don't need you to tell me that pairwise ranking, Zook. I got it. I guess, yeah, kind of first thing would be, explain that to me, how, you know, that record doesn't scream 8th in the country, but I have to imagine it's just, you know, strength of schedule plays a big factor there.
Yeah, they've played, I mean, the Big Ten's really good again this year, and their non-conference schedule is really good. So they've been challenged throughout the season. I mean, their non-conference play included Western Michigan, Boston University, and Harvard. So all top teams. So it's for a team that has 11 freshmen. They're kind of been thrown in the fire, and they started off really hot. And I think because they started off so well, that might have inflated in expectations for this group this year. I mean, because they lost a ton of talent from last year. I mean, if you look at, like, Owen Powers almost playing 25 minutes a night in the NHL right now. Matty Beniers is an all-star. Some of the other guys are, Kent Johnson's playing big minutes for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a lot of these guys are already in the NHL contributing, and the guys that aren't in the NHL right now are playing big minutes in the AHL. So they lost a lot of pro talent, had to restock, have a new coach, and they're still a top 10 team in the country. Now, they didn't exactly play like that this weekend, especially on Friday. I mean, they hadn't played a regular season game in over a month. They had 6 guys returning from the World Junior Championship. And I mean, that, to be honest, that might have been the worst game I've seen Michigan play since I've been on the Wolverines beat, since I joined MLive in 2016. I mean, they were dominated from start to finish. I mean, Ohio State was turning them over. I mean, just going north to south in transition, on man rushes, to second chance, third chance opportunities. It was just a disaster. It could have been 10-2, to be honest. Final score ended up being 7-2, and it's like, well, maybe this team isn't as good as we thought. And they come back out on Saturday and earn a 4-2 win. To earn the split. So it's tough to get a read on this team. I mean, that first game, when you're off for a month, yeah, you're gonna have to shake off a little bit of a rust, but pretty impressed with the response against a really good Ohio State team. I did not realize Ohio State was as deep as they are, as fast as they are, as structured as they are. I mean, they got great goaltending, guys that could put the puck in the net, and a bunch of lines that just come at you and attack in waves. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ohio State in making the Frozen Four run this year, and a pretty big split there for the Wolverines to get at least 3 points out of the weekend.
Yeah, I was looking, you know, these 2 game series that they played 6 in the Big Ten so far, and they split 5 of them. I mean, swept by Minnesota, but otherwise a split. This weekend they play first place Minnesota. I looked at where that game was earlier, and now I've forgotten. I think it's It's at Minnesota, yes.
It's both games at Minnesota, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Friday and Saturday night. What are you looking for in that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, so at this point, I mean, Minnesota's running away with the Big Ten. I mean, it's still the second half of the year, but with Michigan being below 500 in the conference right now, I don't see them making a run to at least win a regular season title. But you got to show you can compete. I mean, Minnesota last year was Michigan, Minnesota that were the top teams all year. They played for the Big Ten Tournament Championship, which Michigan won at Minnesota on the road. Obviously a completely different team this year, but you got to continue to build off these performances and they got to start playing better on Friday nights, the first game of series. I think they were like 1-4 in the last five series openers, something like that. I mean, they just have not, they started out slowly on these weekend series, and they need to find a way to kind of find their legs right away and kind of take it to the opponent right away, because that really hasn't been happening. And Minnesota's going to be a tough test. I mean, they might have the top line in the country, and a lot of them just played with some Michigan players for Team USA at the World Junior Championships. I know Jimmy Snuggerud and Logan Cooley played with five Michigan guys for Team USA, and so they have a lot of familiarity with each other. They always seem to play some. When they met earlier this year, Michigan was very shorthanded. That was when they had the illness on the team, so they didn't have a lot of their top guys. They're pretty much back to full strength. They're still dealing with some injuries and stuff like that, but they have Adam Fantilli back. They have all their World Junior guys back. So both teams should be pretty close to full strength for this weekend.
All right. So a lot of winter sports action on this weekend that we'll be covering on MLive.com/Wolverines. Wanted to at least mention that, you know, there is a football story making, you know, headlines, and that is, assistant coach, quarterback's coach, and, co-offensive coordinator Matt Weiss, currently placed on leave, due to a police investigation. I mean, this is one that I've been hearing from people that aren't even necessarily, you know, Michigan football fans, just because they're seeing the headlines, and it's kind of bizarre when you just computer access crimes. Maybe bizarre is not the right word. It's just unusual, I guess. A lot of people don't know what that is. I know the first thing I did when I saw that, saw the news was Google it and see what that
same
was.
Boat and, here, yeah.
Yeah, and it runs the gamut as far as, what it could be, from things that are, I don't want to say harmless, but crimes that are certainly less serious and less disturbing in nature than others. I mean, it goes up to some things that would be really bad. So, I don't know. We don't know too much about this yet. We just know he's on leave. There's a police investigation, and, we'll continue to have coverage of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge story, and it's just an ongoing saga now of an eventful offseason for Michigan. It's like, whereas when you think they get ahead of something, and with the Harbaugh news of him coming back and they can start returning to status quo, and then this comes up, and then the NCAA investigation. And I mean, it's just one thing after another. And it's too early to tell how severe this could be. But anytime that a judge approves a search warrant and you get your house searched, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. So it will be interesting to see what happens from this. But again, not a great look for the program.
Gotcha. Yeah. And yes, continue to have this, Harbaugh's back, but the investigation, is into him and his program is ongoing. And, there's been more headlines about that he's, saying he didn't lie to investigators, doubling down on I guess, what, whatever his, defense is for why a potential violation might have been committed. So, yes, again, stay tuned for more coverage of that. But we've got it all on MLive.com/Wolverines. And here on the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. Thanks for listening.